If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
This morning, the focus of my message is on things that godly dads say. Matter of fact, that's the title of my message this morning, Things Godly Dads Say. And in this passage, the passage of Abraham being tested, there are three statements made by Abraham which illustrate attitudes that godly, spirit-led dads should have. Now today, whether you're a dad or whether, guys, you're a potential dad, hope to be dad, as Dave said this morning, or whether we're here just reflecting on our dads and the dads in our life, I believe that as we share these three things that godly dads say, we're focusing on three attitudes of godly, spirit-led dads. So let's answer the question this morning, what do godly dads say? First thing godly dads say that Abraham said here is they say, here I am. Here I am. Look at verse number 1 of Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. God called to Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Here I am. Abraham expressed his availability to God. Abraham didn't say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you have in mind? Abraham was not cautious in his approach to Almighty God. He simply said, here I am. There's something powerful in a statement, an expression of the heart that says to Almighty God, God, here I am. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what you require. It doesn't matter what it costs of me. God, whatever you desire, whatever you want from me, Lord, here I am. Isn't that powerful this morning? And that's why God so powerfully used Abraham. Because Abraham had a heart that was humble before God. Abraham had a heart that said, God, it doesn't matter what you want, what it costs, what it involves, how difficult it may be, what it may cost me. God, here I am. I believe that God is looking for dads who are willing to say, God, here I am. Lord, whatever you ask of me, here I am. Whatever you want for my family, as I lead this family you've blessed me with, Lord, here I am. Dads, I believe our kids need to see in us an attitude that says to God, God, here I am. God, I am available. God spoke to Abraham and tested him. God asked a very difficult thing of Abraham. He said to go and take your only son. Now, you know the background story. Isaac was the waited for son. Abraham and his wife Sarah in their old age had no children. Sarah was barren. And God prophetically spoke to them and said, you are going to have a son. He is going to be the promised child. And so in their old age, Abraham and Sarah had this son, Isaac. Now, every son is precious. Every child is precious. But this one was especially so because he was a miracle baby. He was waited for. He was anticipated. And now God says something almost unthinkable to Abraham. He says, Abraham, take your son and go offer him as a sacrifice to me. I don't know about you, but I'd have a hard time hearing a word like that from the Lord, wouldn't you, dads? I have a hard time just giving a ready response to a command like that. But the scripture says, verse 3, did I read verse 3? Yes, I did. Early in the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and went on his way with Isaac. You see, Abraham was so committed to the Lord, the Lord's ways, that he said, Lord, I'll do something that's difficult. I'll do something that would be heartbreaking. I'll do something that I don't understand. How many know sometimes we don't understand the ways of the Lord? Scripture says, my ways, God said, are not your ways. His ways are past finding out. His ways are beyond our limited understanding. Amen? Amen? Nevertheless, when we have a relationship with Him, when God says to move, we move. We say, here I am. It doesn't matter what you ask of me. God is looking for people. And God is looking for dads this morning as they lead their families who will say, Lord, whatever you ask of me, here I am. My home church, when I was growing up, there was a gentleman, he was probably in his mid-30s at that time, married with 4 children. My mom's here. Mom remembers Joe Cuoco. He married 4 children, working a regular 9-to-5 job. God spoke to him, called him into ministry. He relocated his family, his wife and 4 children from New Jersey to Pennsylvania, went through 4 years of Bible college. He drove a school bus to help pay the bills while he was going through college. His entire family went there, and he graduated from Bible college and went into ministry. Uprooted his whole family, but they all went with him. God changed the direction of his life. When most people would say, hey, that's kind of late to change the direction of your life, but God changed the direction of his life, and he simply said, Lord, here I am. Powerful. How many enjoyed the ministry of Tim Enlow last month in our Holy Spirit conference? Doesn't God use him in a powerful way? God has opened doors for Tim. He ministers around the world. And as you know and we've shared with you, God has uniquely gifted him to teach plainly about the Holy Spirit and lead people into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What you may not know about Tim, though, is that Tim had a dad, Neil Enlow, who was in ministry for 58 years as a young man, not even out of his teens in Bible college. Tim's dad, Neil Enlow, said yes to God and became part of a ministry group, gospel group called the Couriers. That ministered, sang together, ministered the gospel in this country and over 70 countries around the world, ministering the gospel of Christ. They left their families, these men in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, for long stretches of time and traveled and ministered the gospel. And so Tim had modeled for him by his dad the importance of saying yes to God, saying, here I am. Some of you are in my Wednesday night Bible study class. We're doing a study by Pete Briscoe, What Will Jesus Do? A study of the Gospel of Luke, and many of us who have been there have been blessed by that. Pete Briscoe's dad, Stuart Briscoe, is a successful pastor and a great man of God, and Pete saw his father model what it means to say, here I am. How many have ever heard of Andy Stanley? Many of you have. Pastors, great, great church in the Atlanta area of Georgia. But how many have heard of Andy's dad, Charles Stanley? Many of you have. Great man of God, great pastor, who again modeled for his son what it means to say to God, God, here I am. God, yes to whatever you want. Now, I've mentioned several men who've had fathers in ministry and they've been launched into full-time ministry. That's not the only way you can say yes to God. How many know that we can say yes to God in a variety of areas? Dads, your kids, your family needs to know that whatever God asks of you, you will say to Him, "Here I am." You will say yes to God. You will say, "Lord, whatever you want for my life, whatever you want for my family." Maybe God's calling you to be involved in a ministry. Maybe God's calling you to alter your schedule, to do something different, and to teach your children what it means to be dedicated to ministry and doing something for the kingdom of God. Are you willing to say, "Here I am"? It may cost you something. It may cost you a climb up the career ladder. It may cost you that big, beautiful house that you want to move into. It may cost you putting a little something extra in the offering plate when you had desired to use it for something else. But your family needs to know that you're willing to say, "Lord, no matter what it is, I say yes to you. I say, here I am." God's looking for people to say, no matter what He asks, "Here I am, Lord." Doesn't matter what you ask, the answer is always yes. The answer is always, "Here I am." How about you, dads? What's God speaking into your heart? You know, sometimes God speaks things to us and time goes by and it just kind of gets on the back burner. Just becomes forgotten. What has God spoken to you? What has God told you to do? What has God asked of you? Have you said yes? Have you said, "Here I am"? Godly dads, spirit-led people, say, "God, whatever you ask of me, here I am." What's the second thing that godly dads say? It's this: we will worship. We will worship. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, "On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you.'" Now, it's interesting that Abraham said of his son that God told him to sacrifice, "We will worship," to his servants, "and then we will come back to you." We don't know what completely was in his mind, but he did say this. He said, "We will worship." God had asked him to do this difficult thing. God had asked him to do this seemingly impossible task. But you know how Abraham regarded it? Not as drudgery, not as something terrible. He regarded it as worship. We're going to go and offer to the Lord. We're going to obey the Lord. Can I tell you that whatever we do for God is worship? Whatever we do for Him, whenever we obey Him, whenever we give of ourselves to Him, that is worship. And God calls us to worship. And one of the most important factors, you need to hear me today, dads especially, parents, all parents, but especially dads, one of the most important factors in whether or not your children will serve God as they grow into adulthood is, did their dad put a priority on worship? Did their dad put a priority on being in the house of God? Was that a priority above other things? There is a lot that competes for our affection with God and the things of God. How many know that's true today? There is a great deal in our world, in our culture, entertainment, leisure, sports, other pursuits, maybe just sleeping in on a Sunday morning, whatever it might be, there is a great deal that competes with our devotion to God. Word of God is very clear. God wants to be first in our lives. And when a dad declares and then lives out, "We will worship. We will follow after God. We will be in the house of God. We will be involved in our church. We will worship in the home. We will make seeking God a priority. When your kids see that hunger and thirst for God, dads, in your life, when they see that devotion to the things of God and that God is first in your life, the chances are very, very good that God's going to be first in their life as well. According to Lifeway Research Group, Father's Day is the holiday with the single lowest church average church attendance, statistically lower than Labor Day, Memorial Day, and even the 4th of July. We can probably look around today and see that that's true. This is interesting, especially when you consider that Mother's Day tends to be the third highest church service attendance after Easter and Christmas. So Mother's Day is one of the most highly attended Sundays of the year, and Father's Day is one of the lowest. What does this tell us? Scott McConnell, director of Lifeway Research, gives this assessment. He says, clearly, mothers want to be present for the affirmation that is typically offered in most churches, but families also are present, knowing their attendance will honor their mother. The attendance difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day is telling, said McConnell. Either churches are less effective in affirming fathers, or families believe Christian fathers don't value their participation in worship services. Now, surely there are other factors involved, including travel and the time of the year. On Mother's Day, school is still in session, and on Father's Day, school is out for the summer. So families tend to travel more and visit relatives or go on vacation. We understand that. But all these factors and statistics aside, here's what's really striking when you see the research on the impact of a dad's faith and the practice on their families. According to this data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, listen to this. If a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. For dads who don't attend church, one in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father attends church irregularly, once in a while, between half and two-thirds of their kids will attend church with some regularity as adults. But if a father goes to church regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will attend church as adults. Those statistics should make us sit up and take notice, don't you think? Dads, the spiritual impact upon our kids when we make worship a priority is almost incalculable. Joshua 24:15. I love what Joshua said here. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He made a declaration. And what has contributed to the state of our nation, unfortunately, is a lack of dads in the home and a lack of dads who are home that place a priority on the things of God. Now, I know you're here today, so you'd say, Pastor Tim, you're preaching to the choir, because we're here today. I'm glad you're here. But I still want to stress the importance of dads making a declaration. We will worship. We will make the things of God a priority. We will make gathering together with other believers on Sunday, we will make that a priority. We will make worship in the home a priority. Did you know the church sanctuary is not the only place you can worship? You can worship in the car. Amen. Put some good God-uplifting music on in the home. Talk about the things of God. Deuteronomy 6 says to talk about the things of God. Is your home a place where the things of God are spoken of? Is your home a place where it's okay to worship the Lord and put on praise music and lift your hands and to seek God and to be passionate about the things of God? Or do we just put that in a little box, in a little compartment, and say, no, I'm going to pick up my worship life, 10:30 on Sunday morning, man, I'm going to be there and I'm going to sing the songs, I'm going to worship, and then come 12 o'clock, we're going to put it back in that little box again, we're going to set it on the shelf till next week. Is that our approach to worship, or is worship a lifestyle? Is worship a 7-day-a-week activity, a 7-day-a-week pursuit? When our kids see it in us, they will pursue it themselves. How about it, dads? How about making a declaration? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will make worship a priority. Abraham said, we will worship. Not I will worship. Listen, time enough will come when your children will make their own decision about how much of a priority the things of God are and the house of God is. When you have them under your roof, when you have them under your influence, you say, you declare to your entire family, we will worship. We will seek God. We will make seeking after God a priority. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Godly dads say, here I am. They make themselves available to God. They say, we will worship. The third thing we see here that godly dads declare is this: God will provide. God will provide. Look at verses 6 through 8. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Isaac didn't know what was going on. He said, Dad, we have the wood. We have the fire that we're going to set, but God, where's the sacrifice? Again, I don't know what was in Abraham's mind. If God was going to allow him to carry out what he asked him to do, or if God had something else in mind. But Abraham knew this much. He said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. And you know the rest of the story. Abraham bound Isaac to that altar. Can you imagine what Isaac must have been feeling? His eyes must have gotten big as saucers. Dad, what are you doing? And Abraham went through the process. He bound him to the altar and he took the knife and raised the knife. And the scripture says God stopped his hand and said to him, don't lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son from me. And the scripture says that Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. He took the ram, and that became the sacrifice that was offered as a pleasing sacrifice to God. And God indeed, as Abraham had said, God provided what was needed. That's an important statement for godly dads to make. God will provide. God is our provider. You know, when your kids are growing up, they see you as their provider, and they should. The Bible says we should provide for our families, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And so they see you as their provider. Now, as they're growing up, sometimes their understanding of our ability to provide is a little bit skewed because they think our ability to provide is basically unlimited, right? One funny thing dads say that I didn't have on the list is money doesn't grow on trees, but I'm sure probably a lot of us have said something similar to that, you know? Dad, I need money for this. I need money for this. I need money for that. Oh, sure. Let me just take it from my boundless supply of money. But they grow up thinking that we're their provider, but part of our job in training our children is to teach them that, hey, you know, believe it or not, and want it or not, there's going to come a day when dad's not your provider. Not your earthly dad, but they need to understand that their heavenly father is their provider. They need to learn that when you can't provide for them, their heavenly father can and will provide for them. And we need to understand what it is to live a life of faith, to trust God for everything we need. How many know God provides for his children? God provides everything he needs. The scripture says, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen God's children lacking. I've never seen God fail to provide what God's people need. My dad was a great man of faith. I've shared that with you before. But he modeled faith for my, along with my mom, modeled faith for my brothers and me. And growing up, and he shared stories with us. I've mentioned this before. When I was a child, I had an infection that newspapers had reported that a number of babies had died from. And God, my dad, along with my mom, just got a hold of God and prayed, and God healed me. And I grew up hearing stories of faith. How God would provide, and how my dad would believe God to provide. One day in 1963, he was driving home from work. God put a song in his heart. My dad wasn't a musician. My mom was a church organist. And my brothers play as well, along with me. Dad played the harmonica. He used to say, "I play the harmonica and the radio." Okay. But aside from that, he didn't play any instruments. He wasn't an author, a songwriter. But coming home from work one day, God put a song in his heart. And the title of it was, "It's a Walk of Faith." And the song went on to tell how that every day is life with Jesus is a walk of faith, with holding his hand and trusting in him, and to act at his command and see God provide. And Dad became known for that song. He would sing it in church, and he would, in later years, go to Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Some of you remember those. And he would share the story of that song and sing that song. We, at his funeral, we played a recording of Dad singing that song because it was so fitting. He was known for the song God gave him. And not just for the song, but for the lifestyle he lived. It's a walk of faith. I'm so thankful for that. Because I got to a point in my life where I no longer had to rely or tell the stories that my dad told of trusting in God and seeing God provide and seeing God come through, because that faith was inculcated within me. It was instilled in me, and I learned. I don't claim to be the great man of faith my dad was, but I did learn to trust in God, that when there was a need, God would provide. And God gave me my own stories. God gave me my own experiences, how he supernaturally provided, how he supernaturally met needs. And God's been providing. When we planted this church over 27 years ago, my wife and I, it was an act of faith. It was an act of saying yes to God. And we didn't know who we would have as part of the church. We didn't know what kind of resources we would have, but we said yes, and we said, "God, we're going to trust you." And here we are over 27 years later, and God has been faithful every day, every step of the way, because God provides for his people. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about today? Dads, I encourage you to instill within your kids a dependence upon Almighty God, to teach your kids, first of all, to live the life of dependency upon God, and to teach your kids what it means to trust in God. Has God done something for you? Has God provided for you financially? You need to stress that and emphasize that to your kids and say, "Kids, hey, I want you to know that we prayed to God and God answered our prayer." And when you pray to God, and when you have a need, and when you don't know where the answer is going to come from, and when you're worried about a shortage or a lack in some area of your life, I want you to know that you can pray to your Heavenly Father and that he'll provide whatever you need. And we pass on that legacy that says, "God will provide. God will meet my needs." Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a God who provides, church. We serve a God who is faithful. We serve a God who doesn't shortchange us one bit, but who will provide for us everything we need. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about everything we need in life. God will provide. God is faithful. And we need to declare that. The scripture says to declare the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our kids need to know that our life is a life of faith, that we're trusting in God, that we're believing in him to provide whatever we have need of. That's what godly dads declare. That's what that godly dads say. In conclusion this morning, what do godly dads say? What do godly dads declare? And by saying what do they say, I think you understand. I'm not just talking about something we say, but something we declare, something we live. Godly dads say, "Here I am." They model to their kids what it means to be available to God. They say, "Lord, whatever you ask of me, wherever you call me, whatever you want from me, Lord, the answer is yes. Lord, here I am." How about it, dads? Have you said, "Here I am"? Have your kids heard you declare, "Lord, here I am. Lord, whatever you need, I'm available"? Have you told your kids that it's a priority in your life to be available to Almighty God, to do what He has you to do? Here I am. Godly dads declare, "We will worship." They stress to their children the importance of a worship and church life, and they lead by example. Worship is a priority. Worship in the house of God. Worship in the home. Worship as a lifestyle. A life devoted to God in worship. And they model for their children, and they lead their family by saying, not you go worship, or you should worship, or it's good to worship. They say, "We will worship. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will worship." Godly dads say, "God will provide whatever the need is, whatever the challenge is, whatever the difficulty is. We serve a God who provides." And they model for their kids, and they declare to their kids, "God is our provider." Because when dads, when we're gone from the scene, and we're not able to provide anymore, we're going to want our kids to know that God is their provider, as He's been our provider. Those are things that godly dads say.